Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Let's get to Mary Kay Cabot. She has a pep in her step this morning. She joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline because Mary Kay had a one-on-one that blew the lid off things yesterday. You spoke to Miles Garrett. Miles Garrett admitted to you, Mary Kay, that he thought about retiring from football after the Mason Rudolph incident. What went into that conversation, Mary Kay?
Well, yeah, I was a little surprised about that. And, you know, he really fought long and hard about the fact that he might not be back in the NFL, either from his own decision or because Roger Goodell could possibly slam the door on him. And so he had a lot of time to think about that, and he contemplated a lot of things. And he arrived on the other side of that, realizing that, number one, he would be fine without football, and number two, he really wanted to come back and do a lot more, not just on the football field, but in the community and also in the world.
Well, Mary Kay, he is such an interesting football player because there's way more on his mind than just football at all times. Like, he has talked about poetry. He's talked about writing. I thought that was interesting that he gave you such a comprehensive view of all the things that, you know, he feels he brings to the table. But, you know, it's caused some of our fans to ask, well, is Miles not going to, you know, live out his contract? Is he not going to, you know, be around for a long time? He still loves football, Mary Kay, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that I asked him, and he answers it in the article, is, you know, do you come back with even a, you know, renewed vigor to want to bring the Browns a championship? Do you want to do more for this team based on the fact that you do feel that you let them down? And he said, absolutely, 100%. And I see that in him out on the football field. He's different in a number of ways, not just in terms of his, you know, his physical presence, because he has added even more muscle, if that was possible. He's added more lean mass, believe it or not.
Wait a minute. Mary Kay, are we talking lean mass again around these parts?
Don't get me all hot and bothered over here, Mary Kay.
Thank you very much. We're talking lean mass again in the morning. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, again, with Miles, who knew that was even possible. Mm. But then I also see him, he's so different with his teammates. And I alluded to this in the article. He used to be kind of a loner. He does his own thing. When his teammates were, you know, playing video games or having a good time or doing, you know, just things that, you know, 22-year-olds do, you know, he was writing poetry and off photographing waterfalls and things like that. He's just different that way. He just has a different view of the world. He's a little bit of an older soul than some of his peers. And so he wasn't always super connected with everybody. He had really good friends on the team, such as Larry Ogunjobi, but he wasn't really engaged with everyone the way that he is now. And I think one of the biggest relationships, one of the biggest changes is between Miles and Baker Mayfield. And I think that is going to go a long way towards helping this Cleveland Browns team this year.
Oh, wait a minute. Lima, I'm sorry. I have to jump in. So, okay, the relationship between Miles and Baker has grown closer. It really wasn't that way before? I didn't know this.
Not to the extent that it is now. And I think that, you know, if you recall, immediately after the incident, Baker was on Fox saying, you know, this was inexcusable. And then he had to earn that harsh rebuke from Sheldon Richardson and a few others forward not standing up for his teammate after that. And I think that was a learning experience for everyone. If you know, I think the message was, you know, if you do feel that way, do not put it out there to the world. I mean, let's keep that in house. So, you know, Baker Mayfield did tell Miles that he wants him around, that he's an important part of his team. This is what Miles told me. And that, you know, he told him, I want you back here. And, you know, I think that that helped. I think it brought everybody closer together. A lot of things brought this team closer together in the offseason, but that was one of them.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the hotline. Just one more on this for me. I'm really curious as to whether or not Miles' remorse also extends to how things happened afterwards. Like, I can make the case and have made the case that if that doesn't happen, that situation, if he doesn't respond the way he did, that I think they have a better shot to make the playoffs last year. I think they win those games against Denver and Pittsburgh the second time around because they have Miles. Remember, they had no pass rush in those games. They gave
great
up some critical plays. And I think Freddie is still the head coach. And I think John Dorsey might still be the GM. There is a parallel world where I believe those things exist. Does he have any remorse over that?
Well, I do think that he believes those things that you're saying, that he could have helped the team get to the playoffs last year. I do think that he really feels like they were, you know, that they would have gotten better as the season had gone along and that he would have contributed to some victories and perhaps that could have led to the playoffs. I do get that sense, and I think that that is another reason why he feels a sense of duty to come back with an even greater sense of urgency and get this team to where it wants to go. So, yes, I do think so. Now, taking it all the way out to where Freddie remains as the head coach, I don't know. I still think that even if somehow they managed to win a few more games and possibly sneak into the playoffs, I still think that there were enough issues with Freddie as the head coach that I still don't know if he would have remained in that role.
Really? Because I would feel that they would do – I mean, they did everything they could to keep Hugh around. They didn't – even if they would have been like 9-7, 8-8, and they would have made the playoffs, it would have been like, hey, this is just too much. This might
yeah, Mary Kay, I just think that Freddie,
wow.
Based on being in over his head, a first-year head coach, very inexperienced in that type of leadership role, I think you were throwing the kitchen sink at him, and it exposed a lot of that. Would we have thought that he was in over his head if they were able to roll off some wins down the stretch and not have this calamity transpire with the team?
You know, who knows? I mean, you bring up a good point, and we will never know how things would have gone. But I think they're, by that point, I think that their chief strategy officer in Paul DePodesta, their ownership, I think they knew by then that things were so dysfunctional with so many key players on this football team that I just don't know that Freddie would have remained as head coach, even if they had made the playoffs.
That's some strong stuff. Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the show. We have to move forward because week one technically it starts tonight, but it's right around the corner on Sunday. No fans in Baltimore, which is probably a win early on for the Browns going into this football game. Baltimore is seen as a team that can win a lot of games this year. The Browns are seen as a team that could win, you know, maybe half their games or maybe just above that. For the Browns, what do you think would be their plan getting ready for Baltimore in trying to maximize the chance of winning there? And then I'll ask another follow-up to it. Go ahead.
Well, I think the formula for this game is going to have to be to try to run the ball a lot, possess it, stay on the field as much as you possibly can, and try to keep Lamar Jackson off the field as much as you possibly can. I think that would be a really, really good place for them to start. But the Baltimore Ravens are obviously going to be ready for that. And they have increased their run defense. They've worked really hard on that. They are not going to be surprised this year by Nick Chubb, who ran for 165 yards in Baltimore last year and 3 TDs. That's not going to sneak up on the Ravens this year. They are built for it this time, or at least they think they are. So I think that would still kind of be the formula. But, you know, with the play-action game, it should open things up. Baker should have opportunities to get the ball to Austin Hooper. He should have chances to get it to Jarvis and Odell. based off of that play action. The thing is, we just don't know how it's going to come together. It did not look good when the first team offense did not fare well against the second team defense in the scrimmage a couple of weeks ago. So I think it might take a while for this team to kind of get up and running.
Why won't he tell us who's calling plays?
You know what? I think any little tiny advantage that he can gain right now is what he's trying to do. And I think that he knows that if John Harbaugh knows that the Kevin Stefanski is calling the plays, I mean, he can really just look to what the Vikings do. He can look to everything that Gary Kubiak does and say, okay, that's what we're going to get. If Alex Van Pelt calls the plays, it brings in a little bit of a different set of circumstances, maybe a tiny bit of a different philosophy. I mean, for the most part, these guys are in lockstep, but they will each have, you know, just have it shaded just a little bit differently.
Mary Kay, you've been all over this J.C. Tretter situation. He seems adamant that he's going to try to give it a go this weekend. How do the Browns feel about this? And do they feel like if he's able to play, he can be very effective?
Yes, I think so. I mean, J.C. Tretter in the middle, making line calls and handling the situation is a huge bonus for the Browns if he comes back, and I believe he will be back out there. There's no way he's going to put the pads on Wednesday and then not play on Sunday. I really think he's going to play. We saw him gut it out on that high ankle sprain in 2018. I think it's huge to have him out there, especially considering everybody needs to know this heading in, and Joe Thomas, you know, talked about it to me last week. Jedrick Wills Jr. is going to need some time to come up that learning curve. People are going to need to be patient with him, and the sky doesn't have to be falling if he gets beat a little bit or gives up a couple of sacks in his first game.
Mary Kay Cabot, join us on the hotline. So much has been made about, you know, the wide receivers coming off their injuries over the offseason, having surgeries. Odell and Jarvis should be ready to go?
They should be ready to go, and I think they will be. I mean, they looked in training camp like they could do absolutely everything, just the way they moved, the way they fought for, you know, contested balls and, you know, hit the ground and popped back up and leaped for catches and those kinds of things. They looked completely healthy to me. But, you know, there's a difference between being 100% and being, you know, even 90%. So I would have to say that, you know, they'll keep an eye on them, you know, and maybe they will have them on a bit of a pitch count. You know, maybe Jarvis won't play every single snap that he normally would, but they do have other guys that can step in and help out in that regard.
What do you think will be a good stat line for Baker Mayfield at the end of the season? Give me some numbers.
He's got to get those interceptions down into single digits, which is usually what these, Kyle Shanahan, Gary Kubiak, Kevin Stefanski players end up with. A lot of touchdowns and not very many interceptions. So you want to see him in the 20s in touchdowns. You want to see him in single digits, in interceptions. That's what these guys do. So he can't be throwing 21 interceptions, and if he does start throwing it all over the yard like that, he's not going to be playing, because they can go to Case Keenum, and they will go to Case Keenum if that happens.
Well, because Mary Kay, because I was asked this question from a fan last night, and I said, listen, I texted the person back. I go, 3,600 yards, 25 touchdowns. Give me the single digit interceptions. I think that this is an above 500 team. I think that they have such a good offense that he does not have to be. He doesn't have to be Hercules. You know, we make this comparison to Drew Brees all the time between he and Baker Mayfield. Well, Drew Brees struggled in his first couple of years. There's no doubt about it. And I know that Drew Brees wasn't taken number one overall, but he was. They did draft a quarterback to replace him relatively early. And I think some of this is just, hey, just use your tools, calm down, because I don't need you to throw for 5,500 yards to go out there and win football games. I think we just need to get those interceptions down and have some quality numbers instead of unbelievable numbers. And I think people will very much love Baker Mayfield again and more than happy to have him for a fourth year.
Yes, that's true. And I think that most quarterbacks succeed in this offense. I mean, they just do. Look, Case Keenum went 11-3 in Minnesota. Did anybody think of Case Keenum like that before he got...
Mary Kay, are you saying right now on our show Case Keenum should be starting on Sunday? Wow. Wow.
Stop.
Put it in quotes.
Stop.
Now, what I'm saying is this is a very quarterback-friendly offense. They usually end up with good production and good numbers in this offense. If Baker Mayfield can't succeed in this offense, then the Browns will have to take a hard, serious look at that. But I have reason to suspect and believe that he will fare well in this offense, because that's what most good quarterbacks do. Their numbers get really, really good. And Baker has everything set up around him to be successful. He's got the arm strength to pull this off. He's got, you know, enough mobility to roll out and do the boots and all the kinds of things that they will be doing. And I think he should play well. Now, it might not look beautiful in the first quarter of the season because he's putting it on the grass for the very first time live. He hasn't been sacked yet. So the first four games will be almost like preseason games. But I think as the season goes along, he'll get better.
Sounds good.
All right, Mary Kay, we thank you very much for the time. All the very best to you and yours. And thank you very much for more of the wonderful writing. And I do mean that sincerely. It was a great story.
Thanks a lot, and thanks for having me, guys.
Yes, ma'am. Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Wow, that's the first case I've seen made for Case Keenum.
Stop. Would you stop that? She's going to get a bunch of nasty tweets, lady. Yeah, she is. Stop running off our good guests. You get some of the poor guests out there. I don't care if you run them off and mess with them like that one idiot draft guy we had for the NBA draft. Who's that idiot again? Is Dustin Fox working with him tonight on ESPN?
Come on. That's a cheap shot.
I didn't call Dustin the idiot. I called the other guy the idiot.
That guy was all-time bad.
Paul Biancardi.
That guy gets paid money by a major network, and he was talking about Colin Sexton as if he were coming out that year. He is stealing from them. That was ridiculous.
He'd like to have that one back.
Run him off. Don't run Mary Kay off. 216-578-0092. I know I keep hounding on the play calling. There's a reason for it, and I'll explain it. And Lyman might have found himself a brand new friend. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lyman, live on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.